Today we're starting a new series on Jonah, and I'm excited about what God's going to speak to us through this. And when you think of Jonah, what's the first thing you're taught from Sunday school? Jonah was swallowed by actually says a large fish. Most people say a whale. We don't know if it was a whale. It was big enough to swallow him, so it had to be pretty big. And that oftentimes is what sticks with us when we talk about Jonah. We've been taught that story since Sunday school. But really, that incident is just a little blurb in the big picture of Jonah's life. And really, when you talk about Jonah, his story is about somebody who runs from God. Has anybody ever had a season in your life where you've ran from God? I think we've all had a season in our life where we have ran from God. And here's the thing, you can go to church and still be running from God. You can be here today and be running from God. And the story of Jonah starts in Jonah 1:1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." And what I want us to see here, if we go back to 1:1, verse 1 is this, is that the word of the Lord came to Jonah and gave him direction for his life. And God's word will always direct us and point us to the right way. God's word will always point us the right direction. The problem isn't the availability of God's word. You know what the problem is? We just don't want to do it. Either we have an excuse or we just don't want to do it. God's word will come and clearly point us a direction. God will give us either something in his word or through circumstances to point us the right direction. And so many times we either have excuses or we just don't want to do it. And other times we're just not listening. God's trying to speak and we're not listening. Like some of you right now are looking at your phones and you're not listening. I gotcha. We've got to listen to when God speaks. The word of the Lord, I want to just start right here with this, will give us clear direction in every word of our life. Well, Pastor, where does it say who I'm going to marry? Well, it doesn't say who you're going to marry, but it will give you characteristics of the person you need to marry. Well, Pastor, where does it say about what I should think about this and this topic? Well, you read the word of God and it will inform you and it'll give you principles for how to live your life. It'll give you principles for how to make decisions. We start with every decision with prayer. And if you pray, God will direct your life. And so the first thing we need to see today is this, is that God's word starts by speaking to Jonah. That's not the problem. The problem isn't that he doesn't hear God's voice. The problem is he just doesn't want to do it. Is anybody else like me? And God gives you a word and you're like, can you just find somebody else? And many times it's just, I just don't want to. It's not that I don't hear you. It's just I don't want to. And the first point I want to give us today is this. God's word does not always align with our desires. Deep truth there. God's word does not always align with our desires. Verse 2 says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." God is telling Jonah to go. Get up, leave where you're at, and go to Nineveh. Now, we have to understand, we got to cut Jonah a little bit of slack here. Because it's easy for us to read the story like any other Bible story, and it's easy for us to judge the people involved. But so many times we do the same thing. Right. And what we have to realize is this, God's not just calling Jonah to any ordinary city. You see, Jonah, he's from a quaint little town called Gath-Hepher, and it means wine press on the watering hole. Jonah is in a comfortable situation, wine press on the watering hole. The picture is this: he lives in a vineyard. And God's saying, Jonah, I want you to leave your vineyard, and I want you to go to Nineveh. Well, where was Nineveh? Well, Nineveh was the most evil city in the world at that time. It was known for its violence. Matter of fact, there's historical records. Nineveh was part of the Assyrian Empire, what today is modern-day Iraq. And there's records of, you know, when Assyria would go to attack a city, to invade a city, that people were so terrified of their reputation that they would just commit mass suicide rather than face the violence that was coming upon them. And I won't bother giving a depiction of what they would do, but just trust me, it was bad. And so it'd be like you sitting in your backyard, in your garden, drinking your coffee one day. You got your pumpkin spice ready for fall, and you're just basking in the glory of the Illinois victory last night. Come on, somebody. Kind of a miracle. But you're sipping your pumpkin spice, and God says, hey, I want you to leave here, and I want you to go close to modern day Nineveh, and I want you to be a missionary to ISIS. No. I think you can find somebody else to do that. And so before we're too harsh on Jonah, that's what's happening here. God tells him, I want you to leave everything, and I want you to go to this evil place. And here's what we have to realize today is this, that the boats that Satan sends our way, they're not always bad. Sometimes they're good. And let's see what Jonah does in verse 3. It says that Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship that was going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And here's what we have to realize about Tarshish. It's a nice place. It's modern day Spain. It's coastal. It was considered to be one of the nicest places in the world at that time. And Jonah tells God, no, actually, I'm not going to do that. Matter of fact, I'm going to go onto the Carnival Cruise website, and I'm going to find a place that is the complete opposite direction of where you want me to go. Notice it says he goes down to Joppa and he finds a ship. And I don't know if he had Tarshish in mind. Maybe they had a chalkboard of list of places to go. And he sees Tarshish. That sounds good. That's a long way from Nineveh. How about there? And it wasn't a bad place. It was a good place. And here's what we got to realize. Oftentimes the boats that Satan will send our way to get away from the will of God actually look like good things. Oftentimes it looks like kids' sports. Are kids' sports a bad thing? No, it's actually a good thing in moderation, but it can become a bad thing when it takes us out of the house of God for entire seasons of our life. It can look like things like a literal boat, and maybe you get a new boat, and you know what? We need to use this boat, and Sunday's the only day that we can get on the boat. And so we're going to miss a whole summer of Sundays to get on our boat. Are boats bad things? No, a boat can be a great thing. But it becomes a bad thing when it gets in the place of Jesus. It gets in the place of his church. It gets in the place of the will of God. So many times we miss the will of God in our life, not for bad things, but for good things that we have elevated out of place. I love Danielle, but she cannot become my idol. She cannot overtake the place of God in my life. I love my kids, but they cannot overtake the place of God in my life. What about this? I love this church, but it cannot overtake the place of God. The will of God has to come first in my life, and even the good things cannot come in place of it. Here's what I want to tell us today. Not every opportunity is from God. Not every open door is the right door. Not every person who comes into our life is the right person. Not every job opportunity is the right job opportunity. And I just want to say this. We've had some people move here in the last few years. And there was one couple that they built their move around this. Where is a good church? And I just want to say, I appreciate that. I've had people that they've switched careers, but they switched the career based on where's a good church? Where are we going to hear? Are we in the will of God in this season with this change? Sometimes it's the will of God to change. It was the will of God for Jonah to go somewhere else. It was a matter of the right door, the right opportunity. And God will show us that when we put his kingdom first. Not every opportunity is from God. And Jonah, he's getting on the wrong boat. Nineveh often looks like this. Going to Nineveh looks like staying in the will of God even when it's hard. Now, unfortunately, sometimes there's no option but divorce. I want to say what I'm about to say with that. But sometimes going to Nineveh looks like sticking it out and trying to save the marriage when it's easier to go to Tarshish and just give up. Sometimes it looks like praying for the kids one more time when it's easier just to give them up and surrender them to the enemy. Sometimes it looks like staying in your church when it's hard, when it's easier just to leave and to find another place. And sometimes that is the will of God. Sometimes you've got to change churches. But there's sometimes you've got to fight for your church. And you've got to fight for your family. And you've got to fight for the people around you that you love. Is this okay today? There's times where Nineveh, God's calling you to Nineveh, and it's not comfortable. And you've got to stay and fight. And I want you to see what happens in verse 4. It says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid. And every man cried out to his God. And threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But I want you to see this. Look at this. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and lain down and was fast asleep. Jonah is on a downward trajectory. He goes down to Joppa, and then he's going down into the ship. He's going the wrong way. He's going down. And there's this storm that arises. And here's what I can imagine. Maybe the first part of Jonah's journey was smooth. He gets into this ship. He gets in, you know, settled in, and he goes up to the burger bar on the second floor, has a couple burgers, then he goes to the buffet, samples some items up there. Maybe he goes to the theater to catch a show on the ship, and he's in his Bermuda shorts, and he's just sipping a nice, cool drink, thinking, God, I got away from you this time. And he gets so comfortable on this boat that he goes down and he falls asleep. And I want to just try to stir some of us today. Some of us have fallen asleep. We've gone the wrong direction. We're not doing what God's called us to do. And we've fallen asleep. And we need to wake up. If you don't wake up, your family's going to be lost. If you don't wake up, your destiny is not going to be reached. If you don't wake up, you're going to miss the will of God in your life. If you don't wake up, the people around you who are depending upon you are going to suffer. And we need to get a hold of ourselves and get out of a spirit of complacency. See, some of us are like Jonah. Maybe he went to his room and he put a do not disturb sign on his door. Does anybody love that? I love that sign. No, I do not want room service at 8 a.m. You can come back. and he's put on his do not disturb sign. And some of us today, we have a spiritual do not disturb sign on. I am just fine. Do not disturb my cruise. Do not try to jostle me awake. And some of us have fallen asleep. Some of us have fallen asleep and we don't even know it. You see, when we fall asleep, we're unaware. We're unaware of what God's trying to do. We're unaware of God's will in our life. And throughout the Bible, we see stories of warning signs of what happens when people are spiritually asleep. David, he spiritually fell asleep, and he should have been with his men when they went out to war. And instead, he stayed home, and he stays home, and he's bored, and he's idle. And that's when he falls into sin with Bathsheba, and it has just a horrendous effect upon his life. It affected generations, and it all happened with a season of sleeping. And some of you are about to make horrible decisions because you're spiritually asleep. God's spoken, God's trying to point you the right direction, and maybe you just aren't listening, and maybe you just don't want to do it, and you've gotten on the wrong boat, going the wrong direction, and you've fallen asleep. The disciples fell asleep when Jesus needed them the most, and he said, "Cannot you tarry with me for 1 hour?" Some of us, we need to awake from our slumber, and we need to see our kids are not going the right direction, and we need to stay up maybe a little bit longer after everyone's gone to bed and pray, "Lord, wake them up. Lord, I pray, talk to my kids, talk to my family, talk to me, Lord, if I'm spiritually asleep." Does anybody want to be awake? Jesus is not coming back for a sleeping, dead church. He's coming back for a church that's awake, that's expecting, that's looking for his coming. And we have to be careful that we don't get carried away with the cares of life and fall asleep. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." What that means is wake up, be alert. Why? Because you have an enemy who's trying to deceive your wife, trying to deceive your kids, trying to lead you the wrong direction. And we are open prey when we fall asleep. We've got entire churches that are asleep. We've got entire families that are spiritually asleep. And my prayer today is, Lord, wake us up. Come on, can we just lift up our hands and say, "Lord, wake me up. Wake me up. There, wake me up, God. Lord, jostle me from my sleep. God, shake me. Lord, help me to see, God. Lord, that your word said, you know, Jesus said that when he returns, that things would be very ordinary. And it would be like a thief in the night." You know what? That's a picture of somebody who comes to your house when you're asleep. We need to be awake. The second point I want to give us today is this. There's always a boat available to take you the wrong direction. There's always a boat available to take you the wrong direction. Verse 3 says, "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and he went into it." Instead of going east to Nineveh, Nineveh was about 500 miles east from where he was. He goes the complete opposite direction. He goes 2,000 miles west. And Tarshish was thought to be the edge of the known world. He went as far from the will of God as you can go. And when you make comfort the most important thing in your life, you can rest assured that you will find yourself far away from God and his will. You see, when we make a decision to reject the will of God, it's a life and death decision. And Jonah was going the wrong way because comfort was his highest value. And he finds himself not only out of the will of God, he finds himself out of the presence of God. It says he went to Tarshish away from the presence of God. And we have to understand, when we reject the will of God, we're not just rejecting his plan, we're rejecting him. We're rejecting his presence. He goes down, and I brought this out. He goes down to Joppa. He goes down to the ship. He's going the wrong direction. And here's what I found. Satan will always provide an easy out for what God's calling us to do. You could always find an excuse. You know, it's by no mistake that he went down to Joppa. Why did he go to Joppa? He knew there were ships there. It's like James chapter 1 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempts no one, but each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. You don't just end up in a bar by accident. They got drinks there. You don't end up in the wrong place by accident. There's something there that's enticed you to go there. And there's always going to be a boat to take you the wrong direction. If you're looking for it, you're going to find it. If you're looking for a website, you're going to find it. If you're looking for a relationship, you're going to find it. Why? Because Satan's always got a boat ready. Oh, Tarshish, I can take you to Tarshish today. Oh, you want sex? I can give you sex today. Oh, you want drugs? I can give you drugs today. Oh, you name it. There's a boat ready to take you there. And it's not God's fault. I get so tired of people blaming things on God. Well, why didn't God preserve me? Well, why'd you put yourself in that situation? It was Jonah's fault that he ended up in the place he was going. And so many times we claim and we attach God's will to boats that will lead us to where we want to go. I was preparing this, and I was thinking about how I do this when I fast. And I'll do good till about noon. And I'll be like, God, is it really your will? Is it really your will that I suffer this bad? And you pass Burger King two Whoppers for $5. I knew, God, that wasn't your will for me to fast today. Papa John's large pizza, $6. I knew, God's will. God, you have spoken. It is clear. And that's why some of us are in relationships right now, and we're finding things, we're pulling things out of the dark to make it God's will. Well, if of course it's God's will for me to be in a relationship with them. We both love spaghetti. I mean, what more confirmation could there be? That's my favorite food. That's his favorite food. It's like a Nacho Libre when Nacho goes and talks to Sister Encarnacion, and her favorite color is light tan. And she loves to go hiking and play volleyball. All of those things are my favorite things. Of course, it's the will of God. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand back there, Ryan. Thank you. What I'm trying to tell us today is this. If you want to find a boat and attach it to God's will in your mind, we're experts at doing that. Some of us are dating people we shouldn't be dating because we're desperate to be in a relationship. And we've jumped on that boat because, of course, it's God's will for me to be happy. But just because it's an open door doesn't mean it's the right door. The boats that take us away from God's presence often look like good things. And Satan is more than happy to bring us a boat, to take us in the wrong direction. And he's happy. Sometimes it says that in the Word of God that Satan, he presents himself as an angel of light. It's oftentimes it looks like revelation. Oftentimes it looks like the answer to my prayers. But here's what I want to tell you. God's Word has spoken. And if that person is going to be unequally yoked with you, it is not God's will. I don't care if they like spaghetti. I don't care how nice they are. If you are not going to be equally attached to them in spirituality and have the same values of the Word of God and prayer, it is not the will of God. Amen. Oh, yes. Is that all right? I don't care how good the boat looks. If it's going the wrong direction, get off of it. Jonah 1:4 says, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up, which leads to point three, and that is this. When you're running, God will often allow a storm to wake you up. See, Jonah, he's enjoying the cruise. He goes to his room. He falls asleep. And God loves Jonah enough to say, I'm not going to allow this to happen. He's got too great of a call in his life. He's got a destiny over him. And I'm going to have to do what I have to do to wake him up. And you see, storms are sometimes God's grace to keep us from going the wrong direction. And I just want to tell some of our parents out there, maybe you have kids going the wrong direction. One of the hardest prayers you can pray is this: Lord, do whatever you have to do to wake them up. Why? The stakes are too high. God, do whatever you have to do, but Lord, don't let them keep going the wrong direction. Lord, do whatever you have to do to wake them up, but Lord, don't let them be lost. Lord, don't let them be successful and thwarting what you have for them and running from God. Here's what I want to tell you. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Just take it from me, a lifetime runner. It does not work. You think that you have gone to the edge of the world and God will put somebody there who has a connection with somebody and with some church, and they will bring you right back in contact with Jesus. You can run as far as you want to run, and you know what? God, he'll be right behind you and he'll tap you on the shoulder and say, still here. You can go bar hopping, you can go on vacations, you can go live whatever lifestyle you want to live, and he doesn't go away. You know why? Because he loves us. He wants what's best for us. Reminds me of a story. A friend of mine was in Los Angeles eating at a restaurant, and he didn't have like anything on to identify him as a preacher. And this guy in the restaurant kept looking at him. And finally the guy came over. He said, you're a Pentecostal preacher, aren't you? He said, yeah. He said, how do you know? He said, I just know. And they started talking, and come to find out this kid had ran to Hollywood running from God, and they had a good conversation, and he repented and got pointed the right direction. Thank God, but it just reminded me, God will put somebody in a restaurant. He'll put somebody somewhere to say, I'm still here. Right. You can run all you want to, but you cannot hide. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea like Jonah, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. So I want to encourage that mom and dad today that you're praying for that son and daughter that's running from God. They're running, but God knows where they're at. God knows how to get them. Release them. Release them to God today. Whoever it is, release them. You know why? Because God has a way to getting sleep people awake. And so some of us today, we're asleep and we need to wake up. Some of us are running from God. I want to ask you this question today. What areas of your life are you running from God? Before I say, as pastor, there's been seasons as a pastor that I've ran from God. I know that God wants me to do something and I don't want to do it. I don't want to hear it. What area of your life is God saying, I want that? I want you to surrender. I want you to listen. For whatever reason, Like Jonah, you refuse to do it, and you're actually going the wrong direction. And you're drifting asleep. It has led you to hang around the wrong people. When we're asleep, it leads us to being around wrong people and wrong influences, and they're leading you the wrong direction, and you need to wake up today. You need to wake up to the fact that you are going the wrong direction. You've made a series of bad decisions, and it is not going to end well. Some of us, we came in here, and God did a wonderful miracle of our life. God changed our life around, and we've slowly just faded away. We've slowly edged our way towards Tarshish. We've slowly faded from the presence of God. And so I want to ask you this question next is, what is God going to have to do to get your attention? God, I hope it doesn't take a phone call in the middle of the night. Lord, I hope it doesn't take a major crisis. I hope it doesn't take a life-altering event for you to wake me up. Lord, I want to be fully aware of your word and what you're saying to me. And Lord, I want this church to be awake. Can we just lift up our hands and say, Lord, wake me up. Wake me up. Can we stand all over this place right now? Can we say, God, make me aware of your will for my life and where you're calling me, where you're leading me. Why don't we pray this? Lord, I pray for kids. I pray for loved ones who are asleep. Come on, pray that right now. Lord, I pray every prodigal come home, God. Lord, and we surrender them to you today. Lord, and we give you permission to wake them up because we love them and you love them. God, I pray not one of our kids missed their destiny. God, I pray not one of us in here today missed our destiny, Lord, because we're asleep. Lord, I pray, Jesus, before we get on the wrong boat, God, we would ask if it's the right boat. Before we walk through the door, God, I pray that we would ask, Lord, is this the right door? I pray, God, we would say the will of God at any cost. And here's what I want to tell us today. The reason God woke Jonah up is because he had too great of a destiny to miss it. And one of the things I pray over my life, over my family's life is, God, do not let us miss our destiny. If you have to make us uncomfortable, but don't let us miss our destiny and your will for our life. God, if you have to do whatever you have to do to get me pointed in the right direction, I give you permission. Can we give God permission to do that today? God, I give you permission to bring storms in my life to lead me to my destiny. And some of you today, you've been running from God for years. And I don't know, I hope this sermon's awakened you. I hope this sermon has startled you. Today you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to repent. You need to say, Lord, I'm giving you my life today. I surrender. And then you go down in the waters of baptism like Beth did today. Wasn't that incredible today? Let's give God a great hand about Beth. He's promised to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You know what repentance is? Repentance is when we stop going the wrong direction and we turn and we go the right direction. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean it's not about that. It's about we're going the direction God wants us to go. So we're going to open up these altars today. If you need to repent, if there's an area of your life where you have been going the wrong direction, today's the day you can turn it all around. And that's what I love about the grace of God. With one decision, we can turn around. With one choice, we can start going the right direction. And here's the great thing. We can still fulfill the will of God in our life, even if we've gone the wrong direction. Can anyone testify to that? The will of God is like our GPS. You take a wrong turn, it'll always give us the next right turn. Some of us today, we need to focus on the next right turn. And here's where the next right turn starts, this altar. The next right turn starts with the decision, God, I'm giving it all to you. So as we sing today, let's fill these altars today. If you need prayer, if you need someone to pray with you, we have people who would love to pray with you. Whatever it is, if you need to be baptized, come see me after church. We would love to baptize you today. Is that right? That's why we came today. Let's lift up our hands all over this place. Lord, we surrender to you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're running after us. When we ran away from you, you ran after us. Can somebody say that's true? Lord, we thank you, God, for your will. We thank you, God, for your voice. Let's sing it. All my life, you've been faithful.